yeah, our production was set at a curious moment of Scottish history, as a matter of fact. The reason for it really was that they couldn't afford to hire the proper costumes in. And so what they'd done is they bought a job lot of old fur coats. and sewn them up. It was actually Stone Age, though. It was Stone Age, exactly. It was this curious moment in Scottish history. It was when they were, they were very good at swords. They were marvellous. And very good at staircases as well. Ornate banister work. But they hadn't come up with a kilt yet. David Calabrese. With Norway was going, and it was at that exact moment as well. Whoa! That's kind of really chilling in to exactly where we were in the play Vis-a-Vis, the movie that I'd seen a few weeks before. It was a movie called Throne of Blood, and it was the Japanese, it was the Nip version of Macbeth. And actually, I got a poem! And it's really good at that moment. I mean, Toshiro Mifune wants to know how the war with Norway is going. Right, in case I never pass around. Wrong! You know, he's out with his great samurai sword. He kind of draws it graphically in the mud. And so he gives out, we don't want to know how the war with Norway is going to do. And I pulled out my sword, you know, to show. But anyway, but he thought I'd had a turn. So you get the smaller parts, you know, so they get a turn. You know, they just come just running through a bleeding man in the first act. I was going to draw you out of where Norway's going in the mud. And he got him out of it. I kind of said, I farted around, but he still. Anyway, it was quite wonderful. It's how just a little thing like that, you know. And a fine production can probably go tumble. And it's a bit like that. And it's a sort of phenomenon. It was when I was discussing bird life at Dunsinane. Kind of looked up, you know, and it was like the ceiling, Smith Park, of the theatre. We could see the laughing fat men in the sky. When we got to near the end, you know, near the climax of the thing, and I was dressed up as a privet, and it's time to have to storm the castle. And the other chaps are professional, they weren't living in it, they were at all. They were sort of generally going, and they hung out there. And I went, come on, and then so I went, Bonga! I was leading with the pygmy horns. And I kind of took Dunsinane single-handed. took Mac Duffer back a bit. He kind of lost the use of his grip muscles. Almost holding it together. I mean, but you won't be able to do anything, you know, really tricky, like tie a shoelace. And when we got to the real climax, you know, and Mac Duff reveals that there was going to be a unpleasant Mac Duff couldn't hold his sword. And so our Macbeth had to run himself through. into the pub after the school to get work after that. incidentally, what happened was I was in Liverpool. I was working in Liverpool, and I got a phone call from Newsnight. So be in 1981. I got this phone call from Newsnight, and they said, we accuse you of being behind the Royal Dickens hoax. I said, no, not me. I said, oh, I always thought it was James Fenton. I thought about it, and then I rang back the researchers of Newsnight. I said, yeah, no, actually, it was me.